Good morning. It's a beautiful day in God's neighborhood. Really is spectacular out there. The scripture this morning is very familiar to us. It's that scripture that happens during the Feast of Passover when Jesus washed and anointed the disciples' feet. John 13. And what I'm going to read is verses 12 through 15. It says, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he, Jesus, said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. There's a lot of controversy among the disciples about Jesus, this wonderful man, stooping so low as to wash his disciples' feet. But as usual, Jesus had his reasons. So I wish you a good morning. I'd like to pick up this morning where I left off several weeks ago. The last time I was here, I suggested that it is so much better being a full-time Christian and leading a full-time Christ-like life than it is living the part-time alternative. At least I hope that's what you got out of it. So I'm going to base my comments this morning on something that I read by Reinhold Niebuhr. He is the gentleman, a pastor and a theologian who wrote the well-known Serenity Prayer. But he also wrote a book called Leaves from a Tame Cynic. And this was all about his experience as a preacher in Detroit, Michigan, 1915 to 1928. And it's his account of the joys and the frustrations that he had while he was a pastoral minister. In his book, Reverend Niebuhr made this statement, and when I read it, it just sort of jumped out and I captured it. He said, how much easier it is to adore an ideal character than it is to emulate it. Well, this had me going right to the dictionary, because I was a little confused between the words adore and emulate, and I found that to adore is to love and respect someone deeply, and to worship and venerate someone or something. Whereas to emulate someone is to match or surpass a person or achievement, typically by imitation. Two distinct things, I think. If you follow that logic, in the old days, we adored the gods, particularly if you were Greek, and they had a lot of them. Today, we adore Gucci loafers. So the word adore has sort of lost a little bit of its impact. Doesn't mean typically what it used to. But I'm of an age that also remembers when the Beatles first got to New York City, and the adoring fans who cheered so loud that nobody could hear the Beatles. I'm also of an age that remembers when Frank Sinatra played at the Palace Theater in Manhattan. And you could see some of the old kinescope tapes of these young ladies losing their minds, tearing their hair out, going hysterical. Never really understood it. And in this case, adoration was loud, explosive, emotional, and actually riotous. And that's not new. We're seeing that today. We're seeing these moments of of adoration turning riotous. On the other hand, the criteria for identifying and selecting someone for one's emulation is vastly different today from adoration. Adoration is more impulsive. It's more spontaneous. I think there's also always a sort of a cloud mentality driving it. It's in and out of vogue. It probably has a short cycle. Sometimes there's a physicality to adoration. Some see it as a passing fad, and some say it's easy to adore someone rather than emulate them, because when you adore somebody, you really don't invest a lot of yourself in that person. It's easy. Emulation, on the other hand, tends to be more reasoned and more spiritual in nature. The criteria for those eligible for emulation, for some people at least, is a matter of careful evaluation. We pick and choose these folks that we're going to emulate. You know, often it begins with a silly question, who do I really want to be when I grow up? You know, stop kidding around. Buck Rogers is dead. And then you sort of feel that if I'm going to invest a lot of myself in my emulation efforts, I want to be sure that I'm making a sound investment. Take your time. Be wise. Be careful. Before I go too much further in this, I want to be sure that I clarify that between adore and emulate is a long, bumpy road filled with like-meaning words that we sometimes use in place of emulate. Words like mimic and copy, duplicate and replicate, mirror and trace. Words like these have their own importance and their own meanings, and equally important, their own appropriate applications. But I think in my case, that it's important that I separate them out. Many of the folks that we choose to emulate are the obvious ones. They were or are very much in the public eye. These are folks gifted with the right stuff. The right stuff as described by Tom Wolfe in his 1979 novel called The Right Stuff. Usually the right stuff is described as those necessary or ideal qualities or capabilities for life, such as courage and confidence and dependability, toughness or grit or daring. Wolfe himself in the book said that right stuff means that one is committed to living a life which one is never satisfied just by getting by. It is about being completely committed to the idea of reaching beyond oneself and finding out what the limits are, only to try to reach beyond those limits. A lot of candidates are very, very worthy for emulation. Some, however, are hidden from view by their own choice. They may be our neighbors or our relatives or our friends or our teachers and so on. Generally, we choose to emulate folks by the totality of their lives, their victories, their defeats, their obstacles, and the open fields in which they walk. We emulate the whole person, the whole man, the whole woman. We judge our candidates by their character, honesty, integrity, worthy deeds, trustworthiness. And I should point out here that age has nothing to do with those that we choose to emulate. We choose the old, the wise, the ancients. And then we choose the young. Young folks like Jake Panis. You read some of the newspaper articles and interviews about Jake. He had a lot to emulate, and he was so terribly young. My list of obvious folks to emulate probably looks something like yours. You know, Lincoln, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, the Dalai Lama, Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, Steve Jobs. But in all honesty, when I think about who the eligible people for me to emulate in the public eye today, I come up with one word: scarce. There are occasions when we may choose what I call selective emulation as our criteria. Uncle Harry was a hard-drinking alcoholic and he was a horse thief, but he did give up drinking. So some folks may be heroic in one or more parts of their endeavors and are in their own way worthy of our emulation. They just maybe insist on having their hands in another game. Whenever I come in contact with someone who I feel is better in some way than me, or more successful than me, I tend to act with envy. Sometimes, however, I act with the beginning of that feeling, I want what he or she has, and I'll go after it. What they have is so important. I want that life. You can also stitch together your own character to emulate. You know, creating someone or something to emulate might be as easy as writing down 5 or 6 character traits that you most admire in someone else. If you write it down, now you have a list of things that you can go after. Neil Burton, who is a psychiatrist and a philosopher in London, talked about envy and emulation from Aristotle's point of view. According to Aristotle, envy is the pain that we feel because others have good things. Whereas emulation, according to Aristotle, is the pain we feel because we ourselves do not have them. It's a subtle but very critical difference. Unlike envy, which is useless at its best and self-defeating at its worst, emulation is a good thing because it forces us to take steps towards securing good things. In other words, it forces us to become better. A lot has changed since the times of Aristotle. Our definition of adore has changed. It's changed and it hasn't necessarily gotten better. But one of the major exceptions about who we can or should adore is this 2,000-year-old teacher named Christ. Hence, I talk about a Christ-like life. Whereas emulation is the reaction of a few with high esteem, envy is the reaction of many with low esteem. So it seems to me that one of the criteria for emulation is that we have just a bit of self-esteem and a desire for self-improvement. Self-esteem is so vitally important to every aspect of our lives. Without it, there are insurmountable barriers standing between the person that we are and the person that we would be, the emulated. We have to be self-confident enough that we can, with effort and determination and grit, begin the journey to success wherever that may lead us. I think I can. I think I can. I know I can. I'm going to do it. It's an emotional decision. It's a practical, rational, having the right stuff decision as well. So from the long list of candidates of people that we care to emulate, who comes to mind first? Who has the right stuff? Well, in my humble opinion, it's the man from Nazareth, Jesus Christ. You know, as Shannon was doing her solo, and I looked at the title, I walk today where Jesus walked. When we walk with Jesus, we're not on foreign soil. He's walked there, he's been there, he's done it. Think for a moment of the trials and tribulations and the joys and the sorrows and the victories and the ultimate sacrifice that Christ gave for us. Christ instructed us to emulate him. This isn't just a, if you have time, tip. He said that you should also do just as I have done for you. So who's our role model? Who sets the standards for how we live our lives, not only within ourselves, but as we walk among our brothers and sisters and all the children of the world? We follow Christ. We emulate Christ because Christ too walked there before us. Christ was a man of flesh and blood who walked among us, who had joys and cried. I've directed my conversation this morning to emulating people, mostly past and present people. And I haven't talked about the other things in life that we can emulate, like some of the fine books and art and the wonderful music that we hear at Southport Congregational. It may be a tiny little stone that sits on top of my dresser that says, I want to be at peace with Christ. In a way, and perhaps a significant way, it's about you and me, and those that we love, and those that love us, and finding inspiration and strength and determination and all of those other characteristics that God has and Jesus has that we might choose to emulate. Emulating the right stuff. Amen.
Friends, please pray with me. Gentle, listening God of this intense season, as we emerge from a summer unlike any other, you are the pause button before us. As we launch into new routines and rhythms, each day bringing a different challenge and new obstacles to overcome, you are the voice that speaks to us, the one that guides us through the tasks and triumphs of everyday life on this bizarre and beautiful planet, the voice that echoes in our very hearts, saying, I am here. I never left you. I will always be with you. As we delve further into Zoom meetings and virtual school, help us to pause in awe. This thing we are doing is hard, Lord, but it is also so very worthwhile. Be with us as we learn how to keep others safe, to do our part as the body of Christ, to preserve the well-being of people we will never meet in lands we might never travel to. Remind us in the moments when this wears on us that this is in fact the holy work of love. Help us, God, to bring our strongest love to bear here, to be the church of fierce hope and boundless grace. And as we embark on new and challenging routines, help us to find the whimsy in internet lags and virtual meeting faux pas. Help us to find the humor and the sanctity in the fact that we are real humans who make real mistakes. remind us that the only output that really matters is the way we pour love into the world. And help us to find the space within us that is gracious to others and to ourselves, and remind us that nothing has ever been or will ever be beyond the redemptive power of grace. And when we falter, Lord, be the sturdy ground beneath our feet and catch us in our stumbling. And in doing so, help us to catch one another, to be the place where others can stand on the days when their feet are sore. And as we allow that voice to reach us, to settle into our very souls, we let the truth of it spread out to our fingers and toes as we breathe in the peace that you promise us. Help us to find what is holy in each and every moment. And when we grow tired, remind us that we can find rest in you, that no feeling is too big for you, God, no challenge too large, no fear too powerful to overwhelm the hope that is you and the hope that is us together, that you, who are the way, the truth, and the life, will help us always to make a way. Remind us, Lord, what a difference love makes, that the strongest love abides with us and sees us through. And so, as we breathe in deeply, remind us what it really is all about, what it has always been about. Love, Lord, and a little grace. What a remarkable gift. In the name of the one who is perfect love and grace transcendent, amen.